You know, oh, I sound like a little tin man. Do you know, wearing glasses is awful, because if I've got them on, I can't see you, but if I don't have them on, I can't see a thing I'm reading. So I can't stand doing this. But, you know, Kim read that hymn this morning, didn't she? Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do. And, you know, it was a first for Kim leading this morning, and she did brilliantly. And she was so nervous, but she did brilliantly. Craig's at the back there doing easy worship for the first time. And this is actually the first time for me doing a preach that isn't for children or for a special occasion. So, you know, the Lord, he likes to take us out of our comfort zones, doesn't he? Because he likes us to grow. And the only way we can grow, you know, in him is for us to step out of that comfort zone and do things that he's asking us to do. So, let God plan your life. I'm just going to read James 4, verse 13. Some of you say, today or tomorrow, we will go to some city. We will stay there a year, do business and make money. But you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Your life is like a mist. You can see it for a short time, but then it goes away. So you should say, if the Lord wants, we will live and we will do this, and we will do that. But now you are proud, but now you are proud, and you boast. All of this boasting is wrong. Anyone who knows the right thing to do, but does not do it, is sinning. You know, James is telling us, isn't he, that only foolish people make plans without considering what the plans are that God wants for us. Now, we all make plans, and we can all make plans. There's nothing wrong with that. But God should always have that final say. But we're all humans, and we're all very headstrong. We think that we know what's best for us. We think we know what plans are best for ourselves, for plans for others, and plans for the church. And we want things to go the way we want them to go. Sometimes we never just stop and think that God's plan might just be much better than our own. We all want to be successful in whatever we do, whether it's winning new friends, getting a promotion at work, being in charge of a team. And we measure our success on earthly things, things like wealth, luxury. You know, some people like big cars, fame. And often when we plan things for ourselves and for our future, that's what we're actually planning to achieve. God wants each and every one of us to be successful, like Charlie said this morning, but not to earthly standards. God wants our success to be for him and for us to do his work. God plans, and he has plans, for each and every one of us. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, it tells us, whether you turn to the left or the right, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walking it. Obedience to God's plan isn't an option, but a necessity. Only through obedience to him can God's purposes be fulfilled. 1 Kings 8, verse 61 says, give yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord, so that you will always be faithful in obeying the commands that you have today. Have any of you ever done those funny little puzzles, you know, where they've got the black lines and you might have a bag of gold in the middle and you've got to get the king to the gold? It's like a maze. And you think it's going to be quite easy and you're following through, aren't you, in the pathway which you think is right. And then often you might have to change direction loads of times. And then also come to a dead end, and you think, oh no, and you have to go all the way back. You know, and you actually think it's going to be quite easy. It looks straightforward, you can see the pathway, and you go for it, and you know you're going to get to that goal. And when you do finally reach that bag of money in the centre, you think, yes, and you're completely satisfied. Well, it's like us, you know, if we follow God's plans and God's pathways to reach his goal, we will be completely satisfied. God has a path for each of us. Now, it's going to be really hard Now, he isn't deliberately trying to trip us up. He wants us to be successful. You know, the road God has planned for us is a test. It's to shape us. God wants us to be Christ-like, and his plans lead us to this. God wants us to listen to him. He wants us to obey him. Romans 2, verse 13 says, "You see, knowing what God commands does not make you righteous in his sight. It's obedience to his word he considers to be the right way to live." There are many examples, aren't there, in the Bible of God's plans. David, he was quite happy just being a little shepherd boy. But you know, God had mightier plans for him, and he was, you know, going to go off and kill a giant. And even Mary and Joseph, you know, they just wanted to get married, have a family, but God certainly had different plans for them. And, you know, even if you think of the disciples, you know, Peter, when he got off of the boat, you know, he was just going to go home. He ain't caught no fish, so let's just go home. But, you know, Jesus said, no, get back on, go out to deeper water. So he shoved his plans aside, got on the boat, went out and caught loads of fish, you know, because the Lord had a better plan for him. God has plans for us all as individuals and as a church. They may not be the easiest, they may not be the most popular, they may not even seem to be the most smartest, but God's plan is always the best plan. You know, and sometimes when we're going through those plans, we often think, well, I can't actually see where I'm going. And, you know, sometimes you might want to give up. And I'm just going to ask Gemma up now. She's sat there, you know. And I'm just going to, you know, I was just going to say this for her, but I was actually going to put this in, but she did say she was going to say it because, you know, I'll say it for you. You know, Gemma, you know, 6 years ago, she walked into Walsash Church with a few of her teenage friends. And, you know, we've ended up doing puppets there. And we take a few services there. You know, but God took us there. And through those 6 years, you finished school.
Yeah.
You've been to college.
Yeah.
And you've had a couple of jobs in a nursery because she's qualified as a nursery nurse. But, you know, she's not been completely happy. And all this time she said, Mum, and I say, just pray. Just pray. You know, God has a plan for you. Just pray. And, you know, 6 years I've been saying that, and she keeps looking at me. You know, but back 3 months ago, Jen, who she first met 6 years ago, said to her, have you ever thought of being a nanny? And she looked and went, no, you know, I don't think so. And Jen said, well, I work for some really nice people, and they want a second nanny. You know, consider it, pray about it. Give me your CV. Well, within a week, she had the job. And who's it for?
It's for the Duke and Duchess of Westminster.
So now her job, she phones me at work and I say, what are you doing this afternoon then, Gemma? Oh, I'm taking Wolfie in the pool. And I'm thinking, that's work, you know. But 6 years, Gemma's been asking, you know, God, what's my plans? You know, she's done her, she's trained, she's been faithful. But, you know, when God took her into Walsash 6 years ago to meet Jen, he already knew that pathway for her. He knew that down the road that this was going to happen. And you know, we just have to trust, because God might not want us to do what we want to do right now. It's like I'm starting a new job tomorrow, and I've been thinking, you know, it's orthopedics. I've worked with children and elderly, and now I'm doing orthopedics. And, you know, if you see people walking around one leg longer than the other, it's because I've turned the screws of the external fixators the wrong way. But, you know, last night I'm saying, Lord, what do you want me to say? And I was just thinking about my own career, really. You know, I trained. I was really lucky when I qualified as a nurse. I got a job in one of the places that I had been a student. And I worked my way up there until I was a community sister. And then God closed that job. That job came to the end. The NHS shut that job down. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? I need a job. And he opened up this job in school health, being a school community public health nurse. And I'm like, okay, we're going from elderly to children. Okay, let's give it a go. But do you know what? It was a perfect job because my children were young. I didn't have to work school holidays. And it's got me through all of my children's life. And even in that job, I did a couple of different projects, run clinics, and God shut them down. And now God's made a real big change in the NHS and this job is really changing. And I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore because, you know, my heart is to be working with people. And then this job came up in orthopaedics, went for the job. 3 months later, I got an applicant, you know, come to an interview, nearly missed it. It was on emails and I don't check those often. Went for the interview, you know, I'm like, I don't know nothing about orthopaedics. You know, I was sat outside in the corridor of this busy orthopaedic ward, you know, patients zooming up and down, and I'm sat on this chair outside this room praying, Lord, just take these nerves away. Let me answer these questions. And when the sister phoned me, I said, oh, Alison, you've got the job. I actually cried. I went, what? I don't know nothing about orthopaedics. She said, you came across so calm. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, so I know the Lord wants me there. Don't know what he wants to do with me, but tomorrow we're about to find out. Okay, so I just want to share with you now from Judges. Judges 7, verse 1. And it's quite a long reading, so I'm going to miss some out, but it goes on 17. It's about Gideon. Early in the morning, Gideon and all his men set up camp. The Midianites were camped north of them in the valley at the bottom of the hill. Then the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men here to defeat the Midianites. I don't want the Israelites to boast. So announce to people, anyone who may be afraid can leave and go back home. 22,000 men left and went home, and 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will test them there for you. I will say to this man, I will test them for you. If I say this man will go with you, he will. If I will say he won't go with you, he won't. So Gideon led the man down to the water. There the Lord separated them into two, one who was drinking water, lapping it up like a dog, and those who bent down. There were 300 men who used their hands to bring water to their mouths, lapping it like a dog. The rest got down on their knees. Gideon divided the 300 men into three groups. He gave each man a trumpet and an empty jar with a burning torch inside. Gideon told the men, watch me, do what I do. When I get to the edge of the camp, do what I do. Surrounded the enemy camp, and then when I and everyone else blow our trumpets, you blow your trumpets too. Then shout for the Lord and for Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men with him came to the edge of the camp just after they changed guards. It was during the middle of the night. Then Gideon and his men blew their trumpets and smashed their jars. All three groups of Gideon's men blew their trumpets and smashed their jars. They held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right. Then they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Each of Gideon's men stayed in place around the camp, but the Midianites began shouting and running to escape. When Gideon's 300 men blew their trumpets, the Lord made all the Midianites fight each other with their swords. The enemy army ran away to the city. You know, God has a different plan for us. Gideon planned to march into battle with 32,000 soldiers, but God had a very different plan. When we make our own plans, we like to ensure that things are going to go well for us. Gideon must have thought the Lord was mad. He didn't think 32,000 soldiers would be enough to win, but God knew 300 would be. The test for Gideon and the test for us is, are we willing to submit our plans to God? Even when God's plans contradict our own, we must remember God's plan is often very different from our own plans. God's plan is a declared plan. God didn't ask Gideon to take a leap in the dark and fight. He was asking Gideon to take a clear step in faith. The Lord expects us to walk in his obedience to do his will, but he never asks us to take a blind step. God is with us all the time. He speaks to us through his word, through the Holy Spirit, in prayer, through fellow Christians, even through our life circumstances. God will always direct our feet plainly. He will not leave us in doubt. God has a declared plan for each of us. Knowing his plan requires us to have faith. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "My word is a lamp to my feet. My word is a lamp to your feet and a light for your path." This shows a picture of a man walking along a dangerous, dark path with a lantern in his hand. Now, that light from that lantern will only clearly show his next step. And as he takes that step, the lamp lights the next step. God will reveal his plans to us, step by step. He wants us to have a real faith in him, to trust him with the plans for our lives and for the plans here at James Street. Only God has the blueprints to our lives. God has a distinct plan. God didn't tell Gideon, "Well, I'm going to reduce your army to 300, then just go on and get on and fight." He told Gideon, you know, to take his men, his 300 men, with jars and trumpets, and he told him what to do. And he said, you know, "I will give you victory." And he did. Gideon himself would never have thought of that plan. And there will be times when the Lord's plan leads us in very different directions. You know, directions, places where we would never even imagine that we would go. God's plans for us are very distinctive. We need to listen and obey. God is committed to each and every one of us, and he's always there to help us and to guide us. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave you," and he won't. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go," and he will. Matthew 28 verse 20 says, "I will always be with you," and he is. If we, or as individuals, or as a church, are going to walk in God's plan, we do need to take three steps. God requires us to surrender. Think about it. Gideon was a man with 32,000 followers. But by God's plan, he saw his army reduced to 300 and his rank lowered and his pride crushed. He was reduced from General Gideon to Gideon. Gideon had to learn that it wasn't about him, it was about the Lord's work. Gideon had to come to a place in his life where he was willing to lay down his own plans, maybe his dreams and his goals, and put aside all of that to surrender to God. God still requires that of us today. If we can see the reality and believe that God has the best plans for our lives and for our church, then we need to turn away from our plans and follow his. God's plans are always the best plans. God requires submission. For God's plan to succeed, Gideon and his army had to submit to God's plan. Gideon had to watch his men go home and take their weapons with them. Gideon and the 300 that remained had to walk in obedience of God's plan, otherwise none of them had a chance of survival. If you want to see the Lord's will for your life, then that requires you to have obedience in his plan. God doesn't reveal his plans for us to consider, for us to say, "Well, maybe I'll do that, Lord," or, "Actually, I really don't like that. Could you just show me plan B?" We may not like what God's plans are for us, but we must have a desire to obey his will. 1 Samuel verse 22 says, "What pleases the Lord more, burnt offerings and sacrifices, or obedience to his voice? It is better to obey than sacrifice. It is better to listen to God than offer the fat of a ram." God requires steadfastness. If Gideon and his army were to experience victory, they would have to humble themselves under God's hand and surrender to his plan, obey his will, and walk in faith. It took great faith for 300 men to go up against thousands, even more faith as they had no weapons. But God answered their faith by giving them resounding victory. If we as individuals or a church are going to obey and follow God's will and plans, we must have that level of faith. God is going to ask us to take some steps along our path that will be difficult and that we may be very unsure of. But what we do know is that it's the best path, you know, because God has that best path for us, and we must have the faith in him. As Christians, it's easy to say that we have faith. You know, we probably all say, I have faith in the Lord. I'm not talking about faith, the kind of faith that just says, I believe in Jesus. I'm talking of faith that says, I believe in Jesus. He is alive. I will submit to his plans, and I will do work in my life that glorifies his kingdom. Often we can lack that faith in our life. Even here, you know, if we want to start a new group, we will often say, instead of saying, that's really great, God's got plans here for James Street, often the first words we will say is, where's the money going to come from? Where are we going to find a leader? But we should be asking is this God's will? Is this God's plan for us and the church? Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. You've probably all heard of Corrie ten Boom. I've got to read this bit, so I need my glasses. Now, during World War II, she was taken from home to a prison camp in Holland and later to a German concentration camp. And she's written a book, and in there it reflects her plans that God had for her. Looking back across the years of my life, I can see the workings of a divine pattern, which is the way of God with his children. When I was in prison camp in Holland, I prayed, Lord, never let the enemy put me into a German concentration camp. God answered no to that prayer. Yet in the German camp, with all the horror, I found many prisoners who had never heard of the Lord Jesus. If God had not used myself and Sister Betsy to bring them to him, they would never have heard of him. Many died or were killed, but many died with the name of Jesus on their lips. They were well worth all our suffering. Faith is like a radar which sees through the fog the reality of things at a distance that the human eye cannot see. So as we start each day, let's remember to pray that we submit to the Lord's plans. Though it may be hard, though we might have to make difficult choices, let's make everything we do God-centered. Let's have that complete desire to follow his will, not ours. Do you focus on your own plans? What do you want to do? What do you want to have? Is God messing around with your plans? The best thing that you can do is to submit to him, for God knows the best plans for your life. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we have no idea where we are going in our earthly day. We cannot see the road ahead of us. But Lord, we pray we have that complete desire to follow you and your plans for us. As we start each new day, we place our lives into your hands. We ask you to help us to follow those plans. When we don't know which way to go, help us to hear your voice so that we can clearly hear your directions. We pray for James Street, that as a church we remain focused on you and your will. Give us the strength, Lord, to do your work in your name. Amen. We're going to come into a time of communion now. But as we lead up to that, I'm just going to show a clip. It's called I Give Myself Away. And during this clip, I just want you to reflect on your life. Are you doing your plans, or are you doing the Lord's plans?